Good morning. I apologize, but I have to speak in English. I don't speak German. I can speak other four languages, but not German. So I really apologize for speaking a foreign language. I will speak about the Document Foundation and LibreOffice. And just to present a little bit about myself. I'm not a developer, although I have six commits on LibreOffice, but this is just for fun. I'm not really developing. You can ask about my development skills to Michael, who is there, but I think you will have nasty comments about my development skills. Anyway, just a little bit of very short background, because I think it's important to understand that the project, the Document Foundation, was not born because of any specific problem with the Open Office project. It was born because there was a strategy behind that. It was not a protest against anyone. We wanted to improve a project that was already existing. And I'll show you something, the way we were. You know, the OpenOffice was, in the year 2000, was a lean product. And in the year 2005, became a fat product. And actually, this is a slide from the Lyon conference. Lyon conference was in 2006. And in 2006, there was a line in this presentation. The presentation was done by the project lead, by Sun project lead, that was a reduction of code complexity. The problem is that between 2006 and 2010, this reduction of code complexity was not performed at all. And of course, this was, I think, is one of the reasons why a number of people inside the community decided to try first to push this code renovation that was not just code renovation, was opening the project more to third parties in terms of development, in terms of support, and so on. Of course, the OpenOffice project matured quite a lot during the years. So when it started, it was probably a logical thing to be backed in a very strong way by a single company. But then the community grew up, and it was time for the community to take the lead on the project, not because we want a project that does not include companies, but because we want a project where the community and the companies work together to make a better product and to make a better product for the users, because the community represents also the users. And this is quite important for us. So this is just an example. These are unused method removal. This is what happened in 6 months, I think, on the LibreOffice code. And this is just one of the examples. And of course, if you want to ask more about this kind of stuff that we have performed, we have a number of developers that can answer your questions. And I think you will have very interesting answers about that. Then how we are today. Today we have, including all code contribution, which means including also code contribution from the former Oracle Sun people, we are at over 460 people. So if we take away the around 60 people that were contributing under the Sun Oracle hat, we have 400 code developers. You go from code developers like myself, who are doing it just for fun and on very basic stuff, to code developers that have started developing and coding on September 28, 2010, so on the first day of the announcement, and in 2 years have close to 1,000 commits, so people that is doing it really seriously. And it's not just committing code, but is maintaining the infrastructure behind the project, because the project is not just code, is not just marketing, is not just volunteers at local level. The project is an entire community with an infrastructure, with an increasing number of facilities for code development, for QA, which are looking forward. So we are doing QA, but we are doing QA we try to do that in a more automated way, because that is how you do it looking forward in the future, where we will have multiple platforms, and with platform I will talk later about that, and you have an increasing pace of releases. We are releasing basically every, I think, 5 weeks on average. So in 1 year, you have around 10 releases. And of course, you cannot do QA the old way, because when you have finished doing QA on the previous release, then you have already 3 releases in front of you. So you have to do that at a quicker pace. And of course, we have also people doing QA by testing daily builds. It's a mix of different way of doing that. We have a balanced developer community. The yellow part separated is because that is the code that is inherited, or the contribution that I've inherited from the old project. But you can see that the new project is very balanced. You have a contribution from companies, and of course on companies you have paid contributors that are coding full-time. Then you have a large number of volunteers, and this is quite important. I think it's very important to have a growing number of volunteers. I'll show you later, and this is basically the number of volunteers has increased at this pace. So as you can see, we are at over 460, as told before. You have to take away around 60, but these are, and the green, the light green, are the new contributors that come to the project every month. You can see every month there are some people coming in, adding code. Of course, some of them are adding just a tiny fraction of code. Some others are starting to code on an almost steady basis. So that's, of course, is a community is a mixture. You will never have 400 full-time developers. That is would be a dream. But if you have such a large base, you can the large base can accept the fact that there are developers working for 1 month and then leaving for a couple of months and then coming back. The reality is that on every month you have a stable number of developers. We are at between 70 and 80, I would say, on average. So every month we have 70 to 80 people committing code to LibreOffice, which is a very good number. And if you look at Olo, for instance, that places us in the top 1% of projects in terms of numbers and activity. And if you think that this is a real community project, this is and a young project, because we are 20 months more or less now, it's I think is a very big achievement, and is a very positive achievement in any term. And this is the number of commits. Of course, you see the number of commits was higher the first months because there was the OpenOffice project active at the time. And of course, we were integrating code from that base. But what is very encouraging is the fact that when the OpenOffice project was stopped, we didn't lose completely the momentum, but we continue to have a solid number of commits every month. And these are product downloads. They are the number is a weekly number. As you see, it's increasing. Of course, this is another encouraging sign. Although we have a large number of Linux users, because basically all the distribution are including LibreOffice, we have a very large number of Windows downloads. We have over 80% of Windows download. We have around 10% of Macintosh download, and we have around 10% of Linux download. These are the people that want to have the so-called vanilla version, because otherwise they, from the distribution repository, they get the maybe not such a latest version, and they want to have always have the latest one, so they are downloading that. But of course, the majority of Linux users is using the package provided by the distribution. And just to give you a feeling, these are the unique IPs that have downloaded LibreOffice 3.5 in the different versions. So it's over 3 million unique IPs. And this is basically in a couple of months. So it's a very good number. And you have also to consider that we have done some actions to have LibreOffice on cover mount CDs of magazines, and there is a number of websites that carry downloads that have LibreOffice. So, of course, to have the right number of our downloads, we should make a kind of compound calculation of different sources, which is quite difficult. But, you know, this is free software. It's not, we don't have licenses to approve, and so the numbers will always be slightly difficult to calculate. This is going back to what I was telling before. We have improved incredibly the code base. There is a large number. The OpenOffice code base was commented in German, which, of course, speaking in Berlin is not a problem. But if you come, for instance, from to my city, which is Milan, I wonder if how many code developers we have that are able to read comments in German or a code commented in German. They're probably more used to read code commented in English. So what we have done is to translate comments in from German into English, or get rid of comments which were completely useless. And what I've done, I've cleaned, for instance, I've cleaned some help files from useless comments, like comment, I don't understand what does it mean, close comment. So if who is commenting does not understand what does it mean, what the hell the comment is there, because no one would understand either why the comment is there. So that's is just an example. Of course, it's not, I mean, the OpenOffice code base is not just made of these funny examples. There is a huge amount of good code, so don't take me for in the wrong way. But it, of course, all this stuff was there probably because for 10 years you work on a code base and it happens to do this kind of stuff. But it's at the end on several million lines. If you clean the code, then you can also make the code easier to develop in for future version. And for instance, Michael Meeks will talk about the let's say the new platforms that we are working at, and I think that the code renovation has been key for us for having the code running on other platform, and especially on small platform like tablets and I would not say smartphones, because editing documents on a smartphone is not the real it's not a real bonus, but you can read the document on a smartphone if necessary, let's say. So that's the code renovation. About quality, of course, we are caring about quality. For instance, we have 14 Tinder boxes, maybe 15 now, I don't know, but there are emails that go on the development list, and I understand 2% of those emails. So I see something about new Tinder boxes going there. But anyway, at least we have 14 Tinder boxes that compile the code of each commit, so that you can immediately understand if the commit is creating some problem to the code, and of course you can revert if necessary, or clean the patch if necessary. Then we have used BBSect to chase regressions. Of course, if you change the code, you clean the code, you may create regression, you may create bugs. If you add features, the number of relationship inside the code is huge, and you can create problems. So that's we have made in a way that people is able to check the quality of the code immediately after the committing it, and not later when you try to debug the suite. Of course, then we have people that is debugging the suite, and a number of guys that are testing it against new features on every new build to see if they work, and they file the bugs and reports and so on. So that we have on Bugzilla the regular and classic, let's say, bug chasing process. There are automated tests that are run on every compilation, on every release, and that is also preventing software problems. Of course, this is growing. We are adding machines. We are adding we are growing this infrastructure. So the process, the quality process, is improving, and if you are have installed the different releases, you have probably seen that the overall quality of the suite has been improving dramatically from LibreOffice 3.3 to 3.4 and 3.5. It was expected, of course. People that understand how you develop the software find it totally logical and natural. People that is less knowledgeable about software development look at probably instability and complain. They don't understand, or they don't see a reason for instability. But if you put your hands into an old code, I think that the development can create some kind of problem, and we are tackling those problems, and we are increasing the quality. As we have been away from Linux Tech for 1 year, of course, I'm just going through quickly the feature of LibreOffice 3.4 and 3.5. This is just a very quick. I will not stop on single features. So we have added a number of features, which in some cases are coming from volunteers that showed up on the mailing list and said, "I don't like that specific the way you're handling the code in that area, so I would like to improve it." And they've been helped by more experienced developers in getting pace with a code which is not easy. I mean, it's a large code base, and it's not always easy to understand where you have to go to develop new features. So we have a number of core developers. We have a number of people that is on what we call the engineering steering committee, who are helping a lot new developers coming to the project. They help them in getting to speed quickly. Of course, it depends from the skills of the single developer, but if you talk to some of them, the overall feeling is that you have a very welcoming environment. So if you are a developer, or if you are interested in understanding a little bit more, or if you don't like a feature of LibreOffice and have an idea of making it better, I invite you to do the same. Show up on the developer mailing list, ask for help. You will be led to the right places where to look for code, and you will be able to become productive in a very short time. I've done this for the help files, and I can tell you that although I'm completely missing any development skills, I have started writing is a big word. I mean, I'm starting modifying XML in a matter of a couple of days, and people that know me and knows that I'm totally unable of understanding any kind of code, including XML. So for me, has been a lot of fun, and also a kind of, you know, I've demonstrated close to 60 years old and having a background in humanities, that I can give a small help to an office suite. And actually, I'm challenging myself with more difficult tasks, which are trivial for any developer, but for me are kind of getting on top of the Mount Everest without oxygen. Same level of difficulty. And about LibreOffice 3.5, this is more recent. So we have a better header and footer handling. It's a lot easier for the user to create and modify header and footer. We have a grammar checker for English and a few other languages. Of course, this grammar checker is programmable. So if you want to improve the German, for instance, you can have a look at it, and there are XML files that help you in creating rules and improving the German grammar checker. So that's a challenge for a new developer. We have improved rendering on some fonts that now have a very nice rendering on any platform. We have created a multi-line input bar in Calc, unlimited conditional formatting, the pop-up window auto-filter has been redesigned. Of course, if you look at each of these features, are some cases small ones, but the impact on the overall usability of the suite is important, because they make the suite more easy to use for the basic user. And some of the features you will see for 3.6 that I will show in a minute are exactly in this direction. Now the embedding palettes of different kind, so we could only embed them into Impress so far. Better rendering of line charts. This is according to the ODF 1.2 standards. And this has been a big improvement, is the import filter for Microsoft Visual document in Draw. And actually, this is the result of a Google Summer of Code intern. So Scottish student actually a female developer, which is not unique, but rather unique. She has developed this import filter, and of course you can now, if you are working in a mixed environment, you can now import visual files into Draw and make your changes and print the document. So it's you don't lose the valuable work that's been done by others using proprietary formats. And then we have cleaned the toolbar in a way. This is can also be considered a minor improvement, but it's cleaning up the interface and is making it less cluttered. There is now a window for real-time word count, word and character count, which is important for people like me that write a lot. A better color picker. And this is another feature for interoperability. If you have the proprietary Microsoft Office format, PPTX, with including SmartArt, you can now import them in a readable way into LibreOffice, while before they were just screwing up the image and you were not able to see anything. Also, a better RTF import, although personally, I would never suggest anyone to use RTF, but there's still people that use it. And now a short overview of new feature of 3.6. And this is a draft, of course, expect more and better, and especially better screenshots than this one in the next few weeks. So contextual spacing is an improvement for layout of documents. A new wizard for labels and business cards. A better CSV export. I think this is quite important because improves again interoperability with other software. And these are the small end user, or say basic user improvement, to have a way of including special text or plain text in an easy way into cells that sometimes a basic user would lose minutes to find a way of including some kind of text into a cell. And if you include the command in a contextual menu, of course, you make his life a lot easier. So you can now, for instance, sort from the auto filter. You can pass only text or formula for the context menu. Sometimes you see users asking on the user mail list, it makes a mess when I try to cut and paste stuff inside the cell, just because it doesn't know, even know that you can paste only text or text and formula. So that's is a quite a big help for them. And this is another, we have I would call him a filter master, who's Friedrich Sturba. He has a terrible noun for an Italian, because he has only a vowel in his family name, which makes it impossible to pronounce for me. And so he has developed a Corel import filter, again improving the compatibility with very widely used graphic software on a Windows platform. And by the way, we are with the Google Summer of Code, we are working, and there is already some nice progress on that to a Microsoft Publisher import filter as well, which of course will not transform LibreOffice into a desktop publishing program, but will allow, if you receive one of those weird formats will allow you to open the file and understand what there is inside and print it if necessary, and maybe change a line or substitute a picture and print it in the different way. That we are not, we don't want to substitute other programs, but we want to increase compatibility, and this is one of the areas where which I think comes from the improving the project concept. We are not limiting the improvements from anything. We want to improve the code and be free of adding the code and improve it under any kind of domain. So, of course, we are talking about proprietary formats here. I think we have to respect the users that want to use those proprietary products and allow those users to integrate the files that they've developed with a proprietary software into LibreOffice. Would not be logical to prevent those users to use LibreOffice to read their formats. An improvement on PDF export, you can add watermark, and better rulers. You should look at the actual ruler to see the difference, but once you get used to that, you will see how cleaner it is and how better it will be, especially if you have to work with the ruler, so set tabs and so on. And we are one of the projects for Google Summer of Code, and these are the areas where people is working. So, for instance, as you see, Microsoft Publisher Import Filter, but also to sign PDF in while exporting, to work GUI for Android, using a smartphone as a remote control for Impress, and so on. There is a number of nice projects, and this is another way of increasing, growing the community, and attracting students and developers and new developers to the project. By the way, Eilid McAdams, the lady that developed the visual filter, she is now employed by a company belonging to the LibreOffice ecosystem. So it's also a way, and we have a number of other developers who are already been employed for some time that have started with some Google Summer of Code. So that is a way of finding your job if you want to be a developer in the future during your life. So a few words about our future. We have called the Document Foundation because we users, and I'm a user more than anything else, we produce documents, we edit, modify documents, we exchange, store documents, and we print, duplicate documents, and we do whatever we want with documents. So we want, we started from one suite on one platform, and more operating system, but the platform is the PC, the traditional PC. We want to increase the number of platforms, and we consider the cloud as an additional platform, although you will access the cloud from a PC, but you can access the cloud from a tablet, and who knows from what you will be able to access the cloud in the future, because once it's online, then you can access probably from in a short time from your television, you will be able to access the cloud. And I would find personally, being an old guy, I would find personally weird to edit a document on my TV, but from someone accessing technology in his early years today, it will maybe become a normal thing to edit the document on your TV and switching from the TV in edit mode and maybe looking at a football match with a kind of same key we use now on the PC, using that on a TV set. And of course, mobile is becoming big, and so we want to have LibreOffice on mobile. And of mobile, it would be more tablets than smartphones, although with the pad phones, or I don't know how you call them now. So the large, the small tablets, or the large smartphones. There is going to. I don't think we can speculate how will be the platform that we will be using in 5 years from now. We might be using things that today we have not yet seen in any shop. So that's. It's our intention is to increase the number of way you access a single document format, which is ODF, because we think that ODF is a standard format with the real values of a standard format. I know that there are other standard formats which are not standards. They're not even compatible with the calendar as of today. And by the way, the Chinese and the Muslim respect the Gregorian calendar, but OOXML is not compatible with the Gregorian calendar. So that tells a lot about how they respect the users. Open document format is a standard, is not driven, maintained by us, but by OASIS. We will most probably be a member of OASIS soon, but we already have people working inside the project actively involved in OASIS today. I'm just anticipating a few very small items of Michael Meek's presentation after me. So I will not comment anything about that. Michael is a lot better than me in presenting LibreOffice Online and LibreOffice on pads or whatever it's going to be called when we will announce it. A few quick words about the rest of the project. So we are growing the ecosystem, and by growing the ecosystem we want to educate the users, and especially the corporate users, about getting professional support for LibreOffice. So LibreOffice is free software, but if you want to make the best out of a free software, you have to get professional support on top of it. It's weird the fact that if you implement at corporate level Microsoft Office, you usually have a consultant that supports Microsoft Office, and then you switch to LibreOffice and you don't want to have a consultant that supports LibreOffice. And this is really weird, because the fact that you are paying a license has nothing to do with the fact that you have a professional consultant supporting your product. They are separate things. So on LibreOffice, you don't pay the license, but you need someone that helps you in getting the most out of the software, as of for any other software out in the market. But we want to help this, and we have just launched, and it's going to be improved. We had a very interesting meeting yesterday evening, a certification program, because we want people that is adding value to be recognized, and to be recognized not only because they do nice things, but in order for them to make money while supporting, training, developing, and doing wonderful things around LibreOffice. If there's no money, there's no free software, because we eat the same stacks than proprietary software development. Maybe we get them a little bit smaller, but we cannot live without a stack and a coffee in the morning and a soup in the evening, like everyone else in the world. And what is quite important or very important or really key is we want to help migration from Microsoft Office to LibreOffice based on professional consultancy and support. We as TDF will never provide that, but we want to create the ecosystem that makes it easy for anyone to find the right consultant for this task. And this is very important. And I think that in this domain, the journey has just begun. And I think we have, you see LibreOffice 2020. We have declared that we want to have 200 million users in 2020. We will probably exceed that feature, that figure. But, you know, we still, we will change it. Not today. We will change sometimes in the future if we exceed that figure. We are on track to become a real next decade software, free software suite, which is different from the last decade free office suite. And so that's the challenge that we have. And I finish. Sorry again for speaking in English. If you want to write me to poke me on every platform, you're free to do that. I'm Italian. I won't answer. No, I'm joking. I'm usually, although I'm Italian, I'm a nice person.
Okay. I think.
And if you have questions, of course, we have German people to answer German questions.
You can also translate them. Don't be shy.
Irgendjemand Fragen? Also im Zweifel können die auch auf Deutsch gestellt werden. Wir übersetzen sie dann. Genau. Irgendjemand Fragen zum Beispiel zum Zertifikationsprogramm oder zu LibreOffice?
They don't want to ask me development-related questions because they are scared about the answers, and I would be as well.
Okay. Ich sehe keinen, der Fragen stellen möchte. Ja, dann danke ich, Italo.
Yeah, anyway, nice. If the answers come later, I will be at the LibreOffice booth downstairs.
Okay. Also Fragen können unten noch gestellt werden auf dem Stand von LibreOffice, entweder an Italo oder andere, auch deutsch sprechende Personen. Alle würde ich jetzt nicht behaupten, wenn es auch in Chinesisch demnächst irgendwie. Okay, vielen Dank.